B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The number of positive cases among Miami Marlins players is now up to 12. Two coaches, sources have told me, and Jesse Rogers are also positive for COVID-19. This is the sort of outbreak that baseball was afraid of. And what happens now is anyone's best guess. Their game, their home opener against the Baltimore Orioles, has been canceled. And the further fallout today and in the coming days is going to be awfully interesting to see really the viability of the 2020 Major League Baseball season and how baseball, or if baseball, continues to be played.
And if you're a Red Sox fan, do you even want baseball to continue to be played? If that's the product you're going to be watching. Two items on the table there. The teetering of the Major League Baseball season and the complete suckitude of your Boston Red Sox. So you heard the reporting there from Murray at the top of the hour that they're not considering shutting down the season. This is in keeping with other leagues. So there have been pretty much everything. Like, I mean, starting with MMA, when, you know, one of the very first events that came back, a fighter showed up positive Friday morning. There's Dana White with no mask doing the mean mugging during the weigh-in, and they go on and hold that card that night. To Major League Soccer, have this Soccer is Back, MLS is Back tournament. Couple teams have positive outbreaks. They go home. They continue playing the tournament. For crying out loud, Major League Lacrosse, didn't a few teams just bow out, like, in the semifinals?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they put the Cannons in the final. They win the championship. They're hoisting the trophy because, I mean, so all these leagues have just pretty much plowed ahead. So Major League Baseball continuing to plow ahead. They didn't even consider canceling the season, is the reporting. It's not surprising. That's the way it's been pretty much across the world of sports. But you got to wonder, if the players aren't going to be responsible, and I don't know how it survives. I don't know how it survives.
Well, right. So reading from this Bleacher Report story, the league's plan, according to this phone call that they had today, is to double down on the already in-place safety protocols, including cracking down on high fives and spitting and making masks mandatory in the clubhouse. Okay, yeah, that's all fine. Tell the players don't go out. That's what it comes
Absolutely.
Down to. That's
right.
What it really comes down to.
What I'd like to hear is the players' union, as opposed to a player like David Price, or the players coming out and sort of blaming Major League Baseball or wagging the finger at Major League Baseball for unsafe work conditions. I would like to see the union come out and say, we're redoubling our efforts to make sure that our membership is being responsible and doing the right thing. That's what I'd want to hear from them, but not a chair. The earth and moon will collide before we get such sort of self-awareness or any sort of concession like that from the players' union. I think, I'll just say it again, I blame the players more than the owners on this. I think the players are behaving irresponsibly. That's where this stuff is starting. This is where the outbreaks come from. And until the players get a grip on themselves, the season's in trouble.
Totally, yeah.
To me, that's what I think.
I mean, again, these guys wanted to be able to be at home and go out and, you know, live their normal lives. They asked for this. So, like, on the one hand, you have a guy like Blake Snell out there saying at the very beginning, you know, I got to go out and risk my life because of the Rona. And then you have other players going out, clearly, because if the players follow the rules and nobody gets infected, how does COVID-19 get in the stadium?
It doesn't. I think the teams do, for the most part, everything they can. And I said it before, like, I think if you want to avoid it, you can mostly avoid it. I'm not going to say it's 100% because obviously there's some bad luck, or maybe you just have to expose yourself because of the job you have or a family member you have. I mean, mistakes happen, and this is a pretty widespread pandemic, and so I'm not going to blame everyone that gets it. But I think that on balance, if your work environment's safe, and these players' work environment is safe, the leagues have made it safe as they can. And if the players just keep it in their pants, just go to work, go home, and limit your exposure to other people and make sure your family members are safe, you should be okay. You should be. It's not a guarantee, but you should be. And I'm not convinced the players are doing that. And to me, until they do, that's the rub. That's the story here. And so David Price, again, let's see what you got, Major League Baseball. How about your teammates, David? Or how about your fellow players? That's the question. All right, so back to your thoughts on this and the Red Sox. Dakota and Braintree, hi.
So I would say about 50% of your guys' takes are, you know, okay. The other 50% are somewhat, you know, well, let me say 49% are, you know, could be debatable. But this percent or whatever you guys have clustered up to attack Andrew Benintendi after a three-game series with the Baltimore Orioles, when this guy has enough of a track record since 2016 that he's a professional hitter and can hit for power and doubles.
Really?
If you guys do it. What do you mean, really?
What do you mean, hit for power? Define power.
Well, he had over 40 doubles for two straight years.
Okay, so doubles. Okay, I'll give you doubles, but not home runs.
Well, that's part of power, Maz. You know, that the doubles do get added into your slugging percentage in OPS, correct?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, so do singles.
Yes, but they get... Whatever. Move on from the point. The point here is 3 days against the Baltimore Orioles, and I agree with you, and Murray, I agree. If the Red Sox aren't going to put something on the table for you to want to watch, then... I'm not going to watch. That's pathetic. This was the perfect opportunity for them to go to a seven-inning season, 60 games, because it would be two less innings that we have to see the Red Sox pitching staff because it's pathetic on top of it. But can you leave Benintendi alone, please? The guy is legitimate. He helped us win a World Series, and it's against the Baltimore Orioles after three games. And, Maz, you know better than anything.
Okay, well, he's overrated, Dakota.
Dakota, let's be fair. Maz's campaign against Andrew Benintendi did not begin with the three games against the Orioles.
It began
like 2 years ago.
It actually began once he first came into the league.
You've been on this guy since he came into the league.
Look, I told you that the question was whether or not he was going to hit for power, not doubles, home runs. Power. Like, typically when we say the guy hits for power, we mean home runs. I understand that doubles, it's not always home runs. But he hit 13 home runs last year. And he had two in the second half of the year before. So now we're talking a span of, call it 240 games, 230 games.
And people talk about him like he's a 30 home run hitter, and he's not. I mean, expected that. I mean, the way that he was talked about, and you heard about the power that he had coming into MLB, and the reason he came right from double A, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah, so like, you know, I know what the expectations were, and he's certainly got the build, but no, it just hasn't happened. Like, he's overrated.
So well, I don't know if he has the build. He's not big enough. He put on that muscle going into, was it last year or the year before? He bulked up.
Well, that's what I mean.
But he's not a big guy. I mean, I think you made a great point, Maz, earlier about the whole launch angle, hit, you know, wait for home runs. Maybe that's not his game. Maybe he's better suited to be a spray the ball, play defense, you know, that kind of guy.
So his first year in the big leagues, okay, 2017, his first full year, he hit .271, he had 20 homers, 25 doubles, 20 stolen bases, OPS was .776. And in theory, you should get better. He was second in the rookie of the year voting. Pretty good. I'll take that.
Yep.
He's gotten worse since. And somewhere in there, you know, Cora took over. They changed this whole offensive approach. So there were guys that benefited from Cora, you know, Bogarts, Vasquez, Eduardo Rodriguez, you go Devers. Maybe there were guys that went the other way too. And I would put Benintendi on that list. I think Benintendi has gotten worse. Now, his percentage numbers, you know, OPS like that went up under in Cora's first year. Last year they went down. He was a worse player. To me, Andrew Benintendi should not be a launch angle kind of player. He shouldn't.
Nick on Cape Ann. Yes, Nick.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. First, let me say how much I admire the three of you. You're either great performers or you just have a wonderful ability to really come across like you actually care. And I'm amazed by that.
It's a gift.
Sometimes I think, could I do your job? And the answer is an obvious no, I could not do your job. I don't know how you even care about this ridiculous team and this ridiculous season with pumped-in crowd noise and cardboard cutouts in the stands. It's asinine. It's foolish. I mean, I'm just waiting for someone to say, the emperor has no clothes. This is ridiculous. This is the most ridiculous sports season I've ever seen in my life. How can you care? How can you give anything about this ridiculous charade of a sports season? This is nonsense. Nonsense with a capital non. It's nonsensical. It makes you, well, anyway. Nobody
no,
saw.
No, I get it.
I don't know if anybody saw the end of horse racing in Boston. I don't know if anybody saw the end of prize fighting in Boston. There was a day when that was the biggest deal in town. The Garden would sell out for a heavyweight fight. I have no idea who the heavyweight champ is now of the world of Braintree. I don't.
Well, Nick, I'm going to stop you now. You're saying that baseball is going the way of horse racing and prize fighting. I think it is too.
Yeah,
I
mean, maybe.
It's just a matter of time. I still happen to like prize fighting. And I used to go to the horse races. So, like, I'm a baseball fan. This is why I watch the game. It's not the same. But you know what? I'm so freaking horny for sports. And I'll take it. To me, it's close enough. And I think, Maz, as long as the best teams and the best players are, you know, or at least 90% of them are on the field and the playoff formats remain the same. In other words, if there's a 7-game Stanley Cup final and a 7-game World Series and it's LeBron and Giannis and the Yankees and the Dodgers and, you know, like, it's going to be a legitimate championship and we're going to look back at it as such. We are. These games in between with, you know, the crowd noise and the, I mean, I get it. I get what the caller's saying, but I'm invested. I'll take it. I'll totally take it. I spent about 5 minutes this weekend. I turned on the TV for the Brewers were on, and Christian Yelich was at bat. And Christian Yelich hit a home run to center field in an empty Wrigley Field with fake crowd noise. And I got a boner in my pants. I was so excited to see that at bat and to see my guy. So Nick asked, how can I feel that way about it? I just can. I just do. I'm that chronic of a sports fan that this works for me. It's not the same, but it still works for me. Call me crazy.
Well, so again, I told you I felt that way on opening day as I was, you know, and I listened to the first part of the game on the radio. It was a night game and I wasn't home yet from the baseball reporters. And it felt different. Okay. It felt different. So I'm not delusional about it. But I did also say to myself, if and when they get to the really big games and it's a series, will it feel like a real series? I'm eager to see what that's like. Because I think when there are stakes, and as you said, there are the best players, I think it's going to be easier to develop some intensity for it because, you know, there are some stakes.
Well, but let me tell you something. The Red Sox sucking this weekend felt to me very real. It felt very – the only thing it was missing was jeering from the home fans. And that's the only thing I really missed was the Bronx cheers or the booing or the, you know, whatever, which I could have used. But otherwise, that felt like a real train wreck to me, that Red Sox pitching staff.
Well, especially yesterday. Again, I was annoyed on – the thing that annoyed me Saturday was not the loss. It was the fact that Bogaerts wasn't in the lineup. 60-game schedule, and I'm not someone who typically flips out over this. Like, I covered baseball for a long time. Not that you need me to read my resume, but I understand the drill. It's a marathon. I get it. 60-game season in the middle of a pandemic. People are craving this stuff, and your best player's on the bench to start the second game of the year? What the hell was that?
It doesn't sound like the Red Sox were fully invested, yet Red Sox employees are shaming Sports Hub employees for not being fully invested themselves. Let's get to this story next, shall we? Karen, that's C-A-R-O-N, versus Murray, coming away next on Felger and Maz.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
As I was alerted by my good pal Chris Gasper, right around 21 minutes ago, Tom Karen, Nesson, longtime Red Sox reporter, tweeted, I'm an at Big Jim Murray fan. But to come on this morning and say he didn't watch any of last night's Red Sox game, the first game played by one of the big four teams in town in the last 4 months, is a joke. Be better. At 98.5, The Sports Hub. Oh, all right. Throw in the at mention of the employer, too. See where you're going for there. And here's what I know in 2020, Tom and anyone else. Baseball talk on the radio, for the most part, is death. It doesn't work. Do you know how many calls we have on the board right now about last night's Red Sox game?
How many?
That's silence. That's silence. Because that, my friend,
there we go.
That, my friend, is what baseball is in 2020. So I can catch up with the box score and watch the highlights and then fake it like I have
the last 3 years when it comes to talking about that team, and still be able to be part of the highest rated show in America. So I don't need to be talked to and finger wagged to by any of the media nanas. And a tweet like that is also why I can tell you, the audience, who I actually care about.
He is part of the audience, and we do.
Why I'll never be part of that club. I don't ever want to be part of the stuffy media club. It's why I get my backup when Felger also, you're part of the media. No. I'm a radio guy who's a sports fan, but you didn't watch the Red Sox. Well, you know, I've dropped off on baseball because it's death to me. I think it's, for the most part, very boring. I'll be fine. I'll be just fine. I'm a radio guy who likes sports. I happen to find my way into this format, thankfully, working for this very successful station. And I've been at this 20 plus years. I kind of think I know how to do it and what works. But maybe that's just me. So we'll have to agree to disagree here, Tom. I'll watch some of the games this year. All 60? Hell no, because I want to live my life. I would like to go out and enjoy what I can during this hell time, the worst time to be alive ever, this pandemic that we're all living through. So you do you. I'll do me, and we'll have to go on from there. That's what I've got to say about that.
So, Murray, what happened? Apparently that went on all day?
Yeah. I mean, poor Chris Gasper has to work with a crazy person for the most part on Saturdays. So, you know, I thought I went easy for the most part. But, I need to be better, apparently. You know, I hadn't seen Chris all week. He was on vacation. And I went out on Friday night. Shame on me. Shame. I know baseball's back. Red Sox are starting against the lowly Orioles. I figure I can just look at the box score or follow Twitter and still be able to talk about the game if we were going to do that on Saturday morning. But I hadn't seen Chris. There was other things to talk about. Celtic scrimmage, Mookie Betts signing his deal, the expansion of MLB playoffs, this Marcus Cannon scoop I've got, all that kind of stuff. So I started the show by saying, like, what are we going to do, box score baseball talk, like break down last night's game? Ooh, JD Martinez batting second, like, wee, they're back, yay. And kind of mock, you know, in my mocking a-hole tone that I tend to have. And I said that I didn't want to spend 3 hours like breaking down that game. Well, how dare I say such a thing in the airwaves of this station when Tom Caron was listening, Caron, not Karen. Even though it should be the latter. So he hears that and then says what he's, you know, and so the tweet was fine up until the point where he says, be better. Like, I'm going to take a critique on how to do a radio show from a teleprompter reading stiff in a suit. No, I'm here to entertain, give you some opinions, bitch, hopefully get some cheap laughs out of you people. That's it. That's what they pay me for. That's what I like doing. That's why I'm in radio. That's why I love the format. That's it. So I'm not going to do, oh, well, let's break it down. What do you think about JD batting second tonight? Oh, can you believe that? Ooh, what a performance. What do you think of the job Rod Renneke did? Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. I think it's death. I'm not doing it. We had no calls on it anyway. So that's what I said. He told me to be better. And so I was better over the weekend. I actually watched those other two games. And so as I continue to do, because I am if I was a stuffed bear, they'd call me Petty Ruxpin. Just petty, spiteful, vengeful, all of it. That's me. Anytime the Red Sox were looking like crap, like they did the rest of the weekend, like I was like, oh, looks like Matt Barnes needs to hashtag be better. Maybe the Red Sox need to hashtag be better in putting out a better lineup than they did for game two and not having Xander Bogaerts playing the game. So he took a beating all weekend on Twitter, and, you know, rightfully so. He drew first blood, not me. So reap what you sow.
Did he fire back? Was it a back and forth?
Yeah, he had more throughout the afternoon that it was just like, well, he wasn't watching. Like, there was more. It was a whole thing. You know, it's the really what it comes down to, Mike, is why you are consistently right about one thing more than anything else. Stay off of Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you that the best part of the whole thing is when you start expressing your care for the listeners. You do care about the listeners. And Gasper tries to chime in, and you just ran him over.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best part of the whole thing, Jimmy. Do you have it? Oh, my God. I love that.
I don't need to be talked to and finger wagged to by any of the media nanas. And a tweet like that is also why I can tell you, the audience, who I actually care about.
He is part of the audience, and we do.
Why? I'll never be part of that club.
Shut up, Chris.
Yeah, seriously, put a sock in a Gasper, let him go.
Is that a roll?
There was a lot of that on Saturday for poor Chris. I do feel for him sometimes, because that's like my, sometimes it's like being on a therapist's couch on a Saturday morning with me, and Chris just has to deal with it. That poor bastard.
That was funny.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the Red Sox want. I mean, They slashed payroll. They didn't replace their best players. They don't even have a real manager to speak of. They've basically put in neon lights. This is a bridge year or a transitional year or a step back year. I mean, that's the way they manage their roster. So what the hell how do they expect fans and media mistreated.
They gave their best player a day off on the second day of a 60-game season. They gave him the day off.
And so that really played into it, too, because that news broke because that game was at 1:35 on Saturday. And so we knew what the lineup was, and it was just like, oh, God, it's so good. And you want me to take this seriously when they're not even going to play Xander Bogaerts in the second game of the season? Oh, F off.
It was unbelievable. I think they need.
He
I
is
think
part
the
of the audience, and we do.
Why? I'll never be part of that club.
That is so good.
So that go on all day there, Murray?
Yeah, it was again. I think from what I kept checking in on, like he was. Yeah, it was a lot of me over the weekend too with the hashtag Be Better. The people, you know, getting at Tom and oh, and then Jones, really, who I really got to tip the old proverbial cap to is Jones. Who went in on him like the rest of the weekend and doing his whole like emoji when they ended up losing that game on Saturday, like Red Sox 0-1 when Tom Caron you know bitches at Jim Murray like like that whole thing, like he was fantastic all weekend long.
And he's the one that came up with the
Tom Caron Karen, yes.
All right. So if you want to listen to the full thing, all that stuff's up online, right, on the podcast?
Yep. 98.5sportshub.com. Find it on the app as well. You know, the rantings of a crazy person and poor Chris Gasper.
And a tweet like that is also why I can tell you, the audience, who I actually care about.
He is part of the audience, and we do.
Why I'll never be part of that club.
Shut up, Chris. Meanwhile, Tom and Quincy, how'd you feel about your baseball team this weekend, Tommy?
It's not so good, Mike. Not so good. I managed to stomach all three games somehow. I thought I was going to throw up all my Bud Lights, but I didn't. I will say, after Friday, where Evaldi looked good, you can't even feel good about that because that team blows so bad. So I was like, all right, well, he looked great, but that team sucks. So, you know, whatever, that was just this and that. But then they played the next two. So then I'm like, well, maybe I should be impressed with Evaldi's performance because obviously Baltimore doesn't suck that bad. You do. Your team sucks. It is the worst. You guys, I know I've called you a bazillion times over the years. I can't remember a time in my life that I have been this disgusted, frustrated, annoyed, willing to literally jump off the cliff on this team. Three games. Three. It took three games. And the whole thing is, we're like, hey, you know what? Good for the Sox. It's a 60 games. People can get hot. You can cover bad pitching. Bah, 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 bah. Yeah, you can cover bad pitching if you can actually friggin' hit, which you can't. The highlights of the weekend, the fact that I have to acknowledge that Jackie Bradley Jr., was one of the highlights of my weekend, makes it so much worse I can't even tell you.
I'm going to stop you there.
Right, he was actually pretty good.
Yeah, Molly, defensively too, you know, so the whole thing. The thing about the pitching.
They have two capable pitchers. I said it earlier, and I believe it's Nathan Eovaldi, and I guess you can make a case for Matt Barnes. The rest are like, who? Who's this guy now? Or they are, they stink.
I think it's about to get worse.
Yep.
I think it's about to get worse. They go opener tonight. So who the hell? John Osich?
Josh Osich. He was with
Josh
late last year, yeah.
All right, Josh Osich. So, and again, I'm sorry, Tom Caron. I totally checked out on last year. So Josh Osich gets the start, but it's a bullpen game, so there's going to be a bulk guy that comes in after him.
Yeah, Zach Godley.
This is the Godley guy, okay?
Yeah, we pray
so
to
then
Godley.
We go from Josh Osich to Godley, and then tomorrow's starter again is
Matt Hall.
I say, see Michael Hall? What? Matt Hall.
Matt Hall.
So as bad as it was, I think it's about to get worse. I think it's about to get worse. This team might blow.
Oh, there's a chance. So, there's no question there's a chance.
If you want to weigh in, you can. You want to weigh in on Murray v. Caron, Caron. You want to weigh in on your crappy team? You can. You want to weigh in on a Major League Baseball season that feels like it's teetering? You can. One final segment of your wonderful phone calls at 617-779-0985. First, the latest from Big Jim Murray in the update.
And a tweet like that is also why I can tell you, the audience, who I actually care about.
He is part of the audience, and we do.
Why?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Belger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Xander, how much of a challenge is it what would be for the Red Sox with this pitching staff?
Obviously, we know we don't have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball.
How about that for a line? I forgot all about that. That was, what day was that? That was obviously Johnny Miller with the question, but just that line. Obviously, we don't have one of the best pitching staffs. I mean, it's honest, but when do you ever hear someone say that?
You never, rarely do anymore.
Obviously, we don't have one of the best pitching staffs, which means if Xander Bogaerts is willing to let those words escape his lips, he understands how badly they absolutely suck.
That's not a good sign, too, because the checkout factor may be, I mean, if it already hasn't happened with some players, you know that that's going to be kind of on the table. If these guys realize that they're that bad, if it really starts going sideways here, so they get the Mets a few times, the Yankees at the end of the week, you know, say they lose these next four games. This team could be a complete disaster. Within the next couple of weeks, the season will already be over.
I mean, the next week, they're going to see DeGrom on Wednesday. Okay.
Mets never score for him, though.
Okay. Well, you know, against the Red Sox, they will. Okay. So, you know, there's DeGrom waiting for him on Wednesday. Then, because they play 2-2 home and home with the Mets, it's four games, two here, two there. Then they get three with the Yankees. I mean, I don't rule out like a 1-6 week. I don't rule that out at all.
And I think if they're 1-6, they're porked. It's done. It's over. They're not going to – there's just not enough investment in the team. They know they're not good enough. If they got off to a hot start, right, and were in it and looked good early on and built some momentum, and then the players might say, ah, you know what, maybe we got a shot.
Right.
You know, we'll invest in it. We'll ride this. It's fun. We're winning. Go ahead. Fine. And so that's their only chance. If they get off to a slow start, I think they just pack it in because that's what the team did to begin the year. I mean, that's what the organization did in the offseason. That's the whole tone that was set in the offseason. So how do you expect the players to invest if the team won't invest? And that's, you know, that's the risk I think that they run. All right, let's wrap it up with your calls. Brian in the car, your thoughts on the fanless games watching it this weekend. What'd you think?
Yeah, Felger, I think your comment before a couple of commercial breaks ago about the jeering and not having that in the Fenway this past weekend, I think would have been awesome. I think the other one that would have been just a doozy would have been New York over the weekend between their closer blowing another save after the year he had last year and then Porcello getting absolutely pummeled in two innings last night. Not getting the serenading of boos to Porcello, I thought was a missed opportunity.
Thank you, Brian. Yes, this is something that I missed. I don't know if I need them to do it because I'm ultimately not into the fake crowd noise. But there were two things to me that stood out in the weekend. One was the empty bank of seats behind home plate. I think that needs to be tarped or screened in some way like they do in basketball or something. That's one visual I don't love. But the other was I missed the jeering and the sort of booing and Bronx calls or whatever you would get from a home fan base that was agitated. And you definitely would have gotten it from Red Sox fans on Saturday and Sunday. And I mentioned this Mets game last night. I just watched a little bit of it where the Braves are just absolutely pulverizing Rick Porcello. And again, there was a home run last night that one of the hardest balls I've ever seen. It almost went to the triple deck. It hit the facade just below the third deck, I think, at Citi Field or whatever. And, you know, if there were fans in the stands there, the hooting and hollering would have been tremendous. Instead, there was just silence, and I sort of missed it. I sort of missed the jeering there. I could have taken something there. Devin and Lynn on Murray versus Karen. That's C-A-R-O-N. Go ahead, Devin.
I mean, I didn't really have anything bad to say about, like, what Tom Karen well, – I agree with Tom Karen when he says that maybe you should have watched the game, but when you complain about the way someone's doing their job and then you at their employer, you're looking for them to get reprimanded, and that is just the most definition of a Karen with a K thing I've ever heard of.
So is that true? So when
yeah, so he wrapped up the tweet with it was the two things. It was be better at 98.5 the Sports Hub, and the caller is 100% right. When you do something like that, that is like that person needs a talking to. he needs to be able to do his job better. He needs to be more informed. Like, dude, like, I can just read the box score and, you know, get a recap of the game, and I'll go out and enjoy the dinner with my wife that I had planned from a week ago and still be able to talk about it for 5 minutes because that's all people want to hear about it. A 13-2 win over the Orioles. Well, give me a break.
So this isn't necessarily directed at Tom. I mean, if this is what he was doing, that's bad form. But the guys like that email the program director.
Oh, God, like, please don't get me going on that.
Tattling on you? Like, what? Oh, you're tattling on my daddy because you don't like the fact that I think that the Patriots were cheating and they were deflating football.
That's what it is.
So you're going to tell daddy? You're going to tell my boss and try and get me in trouble because Tom was deflating footballs and you don't like me saying that?
Because you're a meanie, Mike.
You, sir, are a complete, and I can't say the word. That person. Ooh. There is a special place for that person. Like, it's one thing to take me on personally. You think I'm full of crap. You think I'm making it up. Go ahead. Call me directly. Email me directly. Send it to me directly and say you're wrong because of this or you're an a-hole because of that. Take it to my face. Instead, you call my boss. Ooh.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter.
That person. Woo.
No, it's a good way to put it. You, that person needs a talking to. That's just not acceptable.
Aldo and Ludlow. Go ahead, Aldo.
Hey, guys. Is it just me? But if the MLB can't get this right and not put their players in a bubble, how is the NFL going to get through 16 games?
So let me tell you the only chance the NFL has, Aldo. If the NFL is not going to bubble it up, and they're not, I think these bubble environments are the only chance that the NBA and NHL have. The NFL is not going to do it. The only two things that'll save them, one is there's no travel in the sport. Okay, so you play one game a week on the road at most. It's really like once or twice a month. You need to get in an airplane and go somewhere else, and so it's far more manageable when it comes to that. The other thing is, the owners have such control over the players that I think the owners can tell the players, which they might have already, which is, you're probably going to get sick, you're going to have to play through it, and if you don't, you're fired. Like, that's sort of, I think, the general, that's overstated a little bit, but that's how they handled concussions for years, maybe to this day. And when Bruce Arians came out today and said, Murray's read this a couple times in the update, Bruce Arians, what did he say again?
Yeah, so he said, talking about plans for handling the coronavirus with the Tampa Bay Times, quote, the players, they're going to all get sick, that's for sure. It's just a matter of how sick they get.
I mean, what a line.
Yeah, really. That guy just does not give a crap.
Translation, as long as they're not dead from it, they're going to go out there, whether they like it or not.
So what, I mean, exactly, what is he saying? He's saying you guys just have to suck it up and play through it. So that's the football mentality, which the baseball players union would never accept, right? You know, they're going to pitch a fit and, you know, fight back on everything. Never mind that. So that's why football has a chance. But the whole thing with the baseball, Maz, is the baseball players refuse to go to the neutral sites. They refuse to go to any sort of bubble environment. They refuse to quarantine themselves. They couldn't be bothered to do it. And wouldn't you know it, they don't make it 3 games, 4 days of their season before they're talking about maybe having to shut the thing down. It's, in one respect, it serves them right.
Well, so look, again, to me, the whole thing screams of just this. This is the baseball players, again, being their own worst enemy. And not just in the PR part of it. But they can't even, you know, they got the protocols they want. Because, again, the union agreed to the protocols. Okay, there were safety protocols that the union agreed to. Does anyone honestly believe these guys got COVID at the stadium? No, the guys who initially contracted with the Marlins got it while they were out partying, whether it was in the strip joints in Atlanta or on South Beach. So by the time they got to Philly, they were already infected. So, but, you know, whether it showed up over the weekend, you know, we all know the incubation period of COVID-19 could be anywhere from 4 or 5 days to 2 weeks, for crying out loud. So they just constantly get in their own way. It's the players' fault. They just never accept their share of the responsibility. There's, you know, to me, in a lot of ways, there's no accountability there.
Paul in Maine, what do you got for me?
Yeah, hey, guys. Michael, I'm with you. David Price needs to have his balls slammed in a mailbox. As far as the Red Sox achievements this weekend, these suckbags just dropped 2 out of 3 to a team with a total of 223 losses in the last 2 years. Guys, I hope the league does stay open so I can join Murray and Hate Watch for the rest of the season. I'm not sure they'll even win 20 games. I mean, teams like the Yankees will absolutely meat stick this pitching staff. They're worse than anything I can ever remember. They're just awful.
So I'll tell you what, Paul. You know, if the Red Sox suck that bad, you can't really invest in it for 162. Like, there's only so much carnage you can watch before you just say, well, it's, you know, they suck, it's not happening, and you just sort of completely check out. But if it's only 60 games and it's a complete, you know, beatdown, complete disaster, I can invest for 2 months.
Could be fun.
Right, exactly. There might be some fun in it, actually, Maz.
Oh, yeah. Look, again, and I think that there's a chance that if it, you know, goes bad early, it continues to go bad early, and by early, I mean call it the first week or two or 10 days, whatever, that they'll just shut it down. You think they're going to bring back Eduardo Rodriguez with myocarditis if they're like 2-11?
No way.
It's over. That's it. They're going to shut him down. That'll be the end of it. They might even tell him, you know, we'll pay you, but you're not going to pitch, because he said he won't opt out. And I think if you opt out, you don't get paid, right? So my guess is there's a monetary issue there in terms of why he will or will not opt out. But you'll see. In fact, if I were them, I would use the opportunity to just play some of those guys that we want to find out about. You know, the Jay Grooms of the world, who hasn't pitched in a year and a half or 2 years. And, you know, put the danger in playing the young guys, if you really suck, is that the young guys will try. Okay, so that's,
and you know what, Maz? We can't have that.
No,
you know,
no.
Let's not get in the way of a complete Red Sox meltdown with actually scrappy, hardworking players.
Exactly. I mean, if 20 and 40 is on the table, the last thing I want is young guys who are going to go out there and try. Okay? So I'd rather get the draft pick and see where you can go from there.
Wayne and Grafton, wrap us up today. What do you got?
Yeah, so now we have Pablo Devers on the team. He must have Popeyes on the speed dial, and we need pitching. You're talking about pitchers on the lawn. Bring back Bod. He, you know, he's not throwing the ball at the high glass anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Chris Kelly. And, you know, oh, by the way, I have a dynamic Ditka in my shots. God bless America. Peace out.
Okay, Wayne, yes. Have you seen Pablo Sandoval?
Oh, he's huge.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, he's gigantic.
Oh, I would never, as I think Devers came in out of shape. I think Devers has put on weight. I would never compare him to what's going on there at first base in San Francisco. That is truly embarrassing.
In terms of being out of shape and fat, that's special.
He's their number three hitter. And as bad as the Red Sox are, the Giants are a disaster, too.
And since he mentioned Daniel Bard, that's a good story.
It is.
Like, I'm happy for that guy, right? He all but had a mental breakdown on the mound, for crying out loud. And you know what? Can the Red Sox get him? Because he's better than any of the crap they have.
All right. Baseball reporters at 6. The final word next.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right. A couple of pieces of sound to get to here in the final word today. With the return of basketball comes the return of basketball interviews, which, of course, has basketballs in the background. Something that drives Felger crazy time and time again.
Kind of the time we had for him to play. Like we said, he's going to be on a minutes restriction when we start.
All right, that's Brad Stevens on Kemba Walker. Even in the apocalypse, the annoying bouncy ball in the background. It's like, can't do basketball press conferences next to the floor.
All right, shouldn't that, like, with Zoom, you can take it anywhere. Take the laptop into the room without the bouncing basketballs.
Close the door! Right. Go in the other room and close the door! God!
It's so true, though. Like, you know, I wonder if maybe it's artificial. Maybe it's piped in.
Can you go in the hallway? Like, for a league that is so savvy, the constant bouncy ball in the background. It's like, we can hear it. It ruins the sound. Don't you know this by now? God, that's so annoying. More thoughts coming up here, including on the Bruins, David in New Bedford, on the Bruins and David Pastrnak. Go ahead, David.
Yes, it's good news that Pastrnak's back practicing, I think. And you were right, Maz. The Bruins are playing Thursday and then Sunday. Do you guys think the Bruins will get the number one seed in the Eastern Conference?
I hope so, David. I hope so. You know, I like David's calls. I like David calls. You know why?
Oh, he's quick and
right,
to the point.
Right to the point.
Yeah.
The phone always works. The calls are 20 seconds or less. And we usually have something to talk about afterwards. It's like, why is that so hard? And close the door when you're talking to the coach after basketball practice. Like, God.
Well, David,
seriously, why is it so hard to go into the hallway and close the door?
It's not.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Anna.
While David is a model caller, here's the opposite end of the spectrum as we hear from Nick on the Cape.
Oh, I like this guy.
Nick on Cape Ann. Yes, Nick.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. First, let me say how much I admire the three of you. You're either great performers or you just have a wonderful ability to really come across like you actually care. And I'm amazed by that.
It's a gift.
Sometimes I think, could I do your job? And the answer is an obvious no, I could not do your job. I don't know how you even care about this ridiculous team and this ridiculous season with pumped-in crowd noise and cardboard cutouts in the stands. It's asinine. It's foolish. I mean, I'm just waiting for someone to say, the emperor has no clothes. This is ridiculous. Yeah. This is the most ridiculous sports season I've ever seen in my life. How can you care? How can you give anything about this ridiculous charade of a sports season? This is nonsense. Nonsense with a capital non. It's nonsensical. It makes well, anyway.
There's very much a Seinfeld thing going on there.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
He got
it's
on
nonsense.
A
it's nonsensical. What's the deal with this baseball?
No, I actually was. I kept waiting for him to stop, and he kept going. Like, I was waiting for a sort of a final line, you know, a conclusion. Like, boom. And it just kept going.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.